Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, September 12th. Trustees to consider superintendent's contract. The Ector County ISD Board of Trustees will consider the superintendent's contract during a closed session during a 6 p.m. meeting Tuesday in the first floor boardroom of the administration building, 802 North Sam Houston Avenue. Last September, trustees approved an increase in Superintendent Scott Murray's salary and extending his contract to June 30, 2027. His salary rose from $309,227 to $319,224.81 per year, which is a 3% increase, the same raise that was given to classroom teachers last year. The board will also discuss STAR and end-of-course exam results from spring 2023. Ector County ISD students showed improvement in spring 2023. STAR results and end-of-course exams, closing gaps with the state. The STAR and state accountability system was redesigned this year. The changes made to the state's accountability system means comparisons to 2022 scores are not apples to apples, however. Improvement is seen from 2022 to 2023 in the majority of tested areas, a news release said. In an August 23rd news conference, Murray said, the STAR looks at 3rd through 8th grade students in math, reading and writing, and all literacy skills in science and social studies. They also got their end-of-course exams, which looks at the 5 EOCs that high school students must take to pass in each of those areas. He added that the state declined overall and ECISD improved. In reading, language arts, ECISD improved. In math, the state declined and ECISD improved. But the bigger message, I think, is the fact that we're closing those gaps. We have been woefully behind the state for many, many years. Finally, we are doing the right kind of work that allows us not only to close the gaps, but to finally begin to get ahead. Our goal is not to just meet the state where they are, but to become higher and to achieve even more than the state is achieving, Murray said at the news conference. Students took a different kind of test from last year. In the past, reading and writing have been separate tests. This year, for the first time, writing has been embedded in 3rd through 8th grade. What you're seeing, especially across the state, is those writing scores have brought down the reading scores. It is no longer a reading test. It is now a literacy test because it is for reading as well as writing embedded in singular assessments, Murray said. There's also writing in mathematics, writing in science, and writing in social studies. Writing is integral, and that is affected here. To compare this year's test to last year's test is apples and oranges, Murray said. He noted that last year's spring test is different from the old one. It is completely computer-based, so students have to complete everything online, different types of questions. Again, you and I may be accustomed to a multiple-choice exam. Pick the right answer. There are some multiple-choice, but there could be many correct answers, so kids have to choose those. There's a whole lot of writing and typing that must be embedded. So responses to questions in which kids have to write their responses, Murray said. Some tests require kids to move items around on the screen, so they actually have to drag and drop and highlight text. It requires some computer skills in order for kids to demonstrate mastery of content knowledge. Campus improvements plans will also be presented for every campus in the system. K-12 Council set to raise property taxes and water sewer rates. The Odessa City Council will be holding public hearings Tuesday on proposed increases to residences' property taxes and water, sewer, and solid waste rates. Council members will also formally adopt the city's 23-24 fiscal year budget. Council member Chris Haney will also ask his fellow council members to pass a resolution that states the City of Odessa will not enforce any mandates imposed by the federal government or the state of Texas. According to materials provided to the council, Haney believes the state and the city were subjected to injustices in the form of overreaching government-imposed mandates during the pandemic. He further stated unquantifiable damage was done to citizens mentally, emotionally, and financially because of the mask mandate and compulsory lockdowns. Haney contends the government overreached and violated citizens' rights to control their own body, and a resolution needs to be passed so it doesn't happen again. According to materials provided to the City Council, staff is recommending the city raise the tax rate to 0.483791 from 0.474372 per $100 valuation. Even with the increase, it remains lower than the amount that would require voter approval, or $0.522978. According to Interim Director of Finance Seth Bowles, the increase will bring in roughly $2.5 million, or 5% more than last year, and of that amount, $1.9 million will come from new property added to the tax roll this year. The final vote on the proposed tax rate will be held September 26. According to the city, residents will see a 6% increase in the water and sewer rates, and a 3.5% increase in solid waste rates. The city's proposed budget shows total current revenues of $269,555,712 and total financing sources of $516,862,613. Total expenditures are expected to be $276,732,308. During the council's work session at 3 p.m., they discussed the possibility of separating the Animal Services Division from the Odessa Police Department. Documents provided to the council indicate Kelly Hendricks, the city's animal shelter manager, believes removing the division from under OPD control will promote a streamlined and focused approach and improve the overall quality of life for both human and animal residents. She said there will not be a fiscal impact on the city. Bowles will also discuss how the city can use American Rescue Plan Act money during the work session. Hispanic Heritage Celebration begins in Odessa. The Celebrando Nuestra Cultura begins Friday in Odessa as LULAC Hispanic Heritage of Odessa begin events to celebrate Hispanic culture. The events will continue through October 15th and include Pioneer Exhibit opens at 10 a.m. Friday at the Ector County Library to celebrate the Benito Ramos family. The Recepcion Fiesta Patria is at 2 p.m. Saturday at Ahua's Mexican Restaurant, 2100 Andrews Highway. The 16th of September parade is scheduled at 6 p.m. Saturday from 17th and Grand Street to 9th Street. Tacos and Tequila Fiesta in downtown Odessa begins at 3 p.m. Saturday. Hispanic Heritage Grito de Dolores kickoff and awards is scheduled at 9 p.m. Saturday in downtown Odessa. The Latina Charles Luncheon is scheduled 11:30 a.m. September 22nd at MKA Special Occasion 500 South Grant. The Don Quixote Outstanding Educator is scheduled at 6 p.m. September 25th at the ECISD Admin Patio, 802 North Sam Houston. The Odessa Hispanic Chamber 5K Run is scheduled at 8 a.m. September 30th at McKinney Park, 625 West Poole Road. Contact Odessa Hispanic Chamber 432-339-6422. La Lorna Legend Teatro is scheduled at 7 p.m. September 31st at Music City Mall Main Stage. The Gala Annual Exhibition de Art is scheduled at 6 p.m. October 5th at the Premier Ballroom, 6482 West University Boulevard. The Latina Entrepreneur Academy Graduation Yo Soy Awards is scheduled at 6 p.m. October 6th at MKA Special Occasions 500 South Grant. The Hispanic Medical Professionals event is scheduled at 11:30 a.m. October 12th at ORMC Auditorium. Second Indian Head Division 100th Annual Reunion. The Second Indian Head Division Association has scheduled the 100th Annual Reunion of the Second Indian Head Division at the Embassy Suites by Hilton, 7290 Commerce Center Drive, Colorado Springs, Colorado. There will be an early bird dinner from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. September 20th, a coach tour and memorial service from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. September 21st, a luncheon auction by Ladies Auxiliary from noon to 3 p.m. September 22nd, a muster dinner from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. September 22nd, and a grand banquet with entertainment from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. September 23rd. Meal tickets start at $38. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit tinyurl.com/3x66rkcz. Beth Turner at Press Cafe. Press Cafe, 4400 Parks Fligato Road, will present touring musician Beth Turner from 8:15 a.m. to 11:15 a.m. September 30th. There will also be brunch. Visit tinyurl.com/5t3448v3. Habitat in West Texans' hands. Alpine, a habitat enhancement project 6 years in the making, is coming to fruition on the 22,000-acre DC ranch located between Alpine and Marathon in the Big Bend region of West Texas. DC ranch manager Wiley Dabbs says it can take years to learn the lay of a large property, to understand how the watersheds and landscapes work, how drought affects the land, and to define problem areas. Dabbs manages the DC and lives full-time there with his wife and two daughters. He views habitat management as a way to give back and to ensure the future generations will continue to benefit from these lands. Dabbs has had support from DC ranch landowners along with the help of organizations including the Borderlands Research Institute, Natural Resources Conservation Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, and Texas Parks and Wildlife Department to create, fund, and implement a plan specific to this property, a news release said. These organizations can help fund land management projects through cost-share programs and grants. Additionally, they offer on-site visits from habitat specialists, soil scientists, and other professionals who can provide free consultations about a landowner's vision for his land. DC Ranch is a beautiful, sprawling property with a variety of terrain from wooded mountain slopes to desert valley flats. However, a significant portion, like much of the Southwest, is covered in a thick monoculture of creosote bush, Laurea tridentata. These sites don't slow down surface water flow, as well as the grass communities that formerly dominated the area. This makes the land susceptible to erosion, and it becomes less productive for wildlife and livestock. As grasses lose their competitive edge, brush like creosote, along with juniper, mesquite, and other woody shrubs take over. The term habitat specialist use for this type of pattern is woody brush encroachment. Dabbs is taking a multi-fold approach to combat woody brush encroachment. He staves off the erosive process of soil by erecting wire brush weirs, wood rows, and trincherias, repopulating the landscape with native grasses. My main goal with brush treatment is to restore watersheds and native grasslands, Dabbs said in the release. His program includes mechanical removal of brush by uprooting it, called grubbing, in addition to using herbicide treatments that specifically target and kill creosote and white brush. He strategically piles brush in windrows to help slow down water flow in problematic areas. He revamped the water system, installing 7 miles of new water lines, new troughs, and solar pumps. The ranch also installed 12 miles of pronghorn-friendly fence. That's fence which has the bottom wire set at least 18 inches off the ground to allow pronghorn easy passage on their frequent movements. He targeted a 1,500-acre treatment area for brush removal and has grubbed juniper out of an additional 300 acres. Chemical treatment of brush using herbicide like Spike can take a few years to show results, but in the long run, the creosote and white brush should not come back with the same veracity. The result of all these management tactics often improve habitat for wildlife. Native wildlife like pronghorn prefer open spaces and thrive on native grass and forb communities. These same management practices increase the quality of habitat for livestock. All of these leads to improved quality of life for the people who enjoy the benefit of healthy wildlife and livestock alike. Although not an exact science, habitat specialists and land managers know these techniques work because there's a precedence of research for them on Western lands. Additionally, organizations like Borderlands Research Institute practice ongoing habitat research in order to better inform these practices and to produce the best outcomes for the region. Scientists, alongside land managers like Wiley, refine habitat enhancement techniques together. We experience the best outcomes with teamwork, and the Borderlands Research Institute is available as a support tool to serve the landowners of the Trans-Pecos, said Borderlands Research Institute Associate Director of Stewardship Services Billy Tarrant. The Land Stewardship Center at Borderlands Research Institute offers a variety of programs to help carry the financial burden of implementing new land management techniques that aid in natural resource conservation. To learn more about these services, visit bri.solross.edu/landstewardship. EZISD Middle School student arrested for weapon. Monday morning, as students were arriving at school, leaders at Wilson and Young Middle School received reports from several kids that they saw a student on campus with a weapon. ECISD police were immediately notified. The student was identified, located, and arrested after police confirmed he did have a handgun in his backpack. The student, a 12-year-old boy, is charged with places weapons prohibited, a third-degree felony, a press release said. School leaders want to thank the students who came forward today. The idea that if you see something, you say something is the very first step in keeping our students as safe as possible. Second, we want to thank our ECISD police officers and school administrators for their immediate response. Our police have very specific procedures for this type of situation, and they move very quickly to investigate and apprehend the student. Finally, I want to remind parents to please know what your kids have in their backpacks and are bringing to school. Safety is our priority, and we must work together to accomplish this, the release said. MISD announces incentive program for principals. Midland ISD is working to give highly effective principals a stipend as a reward for improving student outcomes at their campuses, thanks to a generous supplemental donation from the Permian Strategic Partnership and federal grants. MISD will allot $300,000 over the next 3 years to give stipends to principals who qualify. At the Permian Strategic Partnership, we recognize the pivotal role that public education plays in cultivating and attracting a robust talent pipeline for our region, Tracy Bentley, PSP President and Chief Executive Officer, said in a news release. Our principal incentive allotment program, which rewards principals based on student performance, serves as a catalyst for fortifying strong leadership within our schools. This, in turn, directly enhances every student's educational experience and outcomes, while also demonstrating our dedication to both recognizing and investing in the Permian's promising future. The design process is still underway, and Deputy Superintendent Roberto Cedillo says he hopes to roll out the program by December. I'm excited that we'll be able to compensate highly effective campus leaders, he said, adding that while the most influential factor on student achievement is teacher quality, the principal is second. The principal's stipend is inspired by the state's Teacher Incentive Allotment Program and Opportunity Culture Initiative, both of which increase highly effective teachers through stipends. We want to make certain our principals are rewarded as well, Cedillo said. Technical support for the program will be provided by the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin and Empower Schools. Energy industry leads in environmental safeguards. Oil show to showcase new production environmental technologies. With its world-class display of new oil and natural gas technology, the 2023 Permian Basin International Oil Show should help restore some rationality to the nation's and world's view of the energy industry. That's according to State Representative Brooks Landgraf and leaders of the Texas Oil and Gas, Permian Basin Petroleum, and Texas Independent Producers and Royalty Owners Association, who say the industry is way ahead of the curve, not only in production techniques, but also in protecting the environment. As a state representative of this great region, I am always proud to witness the Permian Basin International Oil Show, said Landgraf, an Odessa Republican who chairs the Texas House Committee on Environmental Regulation in Austin. The Permian Basin, also referred to as the energy capital of the world, has been at the heart of America's energy production for decades, and this show emphasizes our region's dedication to remaining a global leader, he said. It not only underscores the importance of the energy sector to our local and national economies, it also highlights our commitment to responsible and sustainable energy production. Landgraf said the biennial October 17th through 19th exhibition at the Ector County Coliseum will demonstrate the industry's commitment to staying at the forefront of technological advancement. From innovative drilling techniques to environmental stewardship, the industry has consistently adapted to evolving challenges and opportunities, he said. I look forward to seeing the groundbreaking technologies and collaborations on display this year, and I am confident they will pave the way to a brighter and more prosperous future for our industry and community. TXOGA President Todd Staples said from Austin that today's oil and natural gas companies are leaders in innovation and are pioneering technological breakthroughs. As the world increasingly takes a critical view of energy sources, it is important that our Texas companies continue to lead not only in resource development, but also in the development and deployment of newer solutions that demonstrate our commitment to proper water stewardship and environmental progress, Staples said. The oil and natural gas industry is cleaner, stronger, and better than ever, and it has a great story to tell of improving the quality of life domestically and across the globe. We welcome and encourage a rational conversation about our energy future. PBPA Executive Vice President Stephen Robertson said energy leaders with decades of experience around the world had told him there was a time when innovations were led by efforts offshore or in international locations. However, in the past two decades, during a time when production from the Permian Basin quintupled, it now appears most of the leading innovations that change our industry are coming from the crucible that is the Permian Basin, Robertson said. These innovations help to improve the safety, efficiency, and reliability of our operations, and they set a standard for those around the world to follow. The Permian Basin International Oil Show is the showcase of these technological innovations, and it is a great opportunity for those in and out of the basin to learn what makes the most prolific producing region in North America tick. TIPRO President Ed Longenecker said from Austin that naysayers have been falsely projecting the end of fossil fuels. In reality, the future of oil and gas is quite bright and incredibly important, especially in the Permian Basin, Longenecker said. The history of the industry is a story of constant transformation, evolution, and innovation, and no basin has so exemplified the story as much as the Permian. Looking to the future, the Permian serves as a perfect backdrop of the next era of oil and gas production. Longenecker said the oil show has been an incredibly important venue to exhibit the latest technology, equipment, and drilling best practices for our ever-evolving industry, and it is the premier event to facilitate an exchange of ideas and business connections in the heart of the Texas oil patch. The Permian Basin remains one of the most prolific oil and gas basins in the world, he said. Total Texas production on a barrel of oil equivalent basis is about 32% of the total U.S. production, and the basin accounts for 28%, 71% of which comes from the Texas side. Permian oil and gas production is critical for meeting the growing demands in the United States as well as providing energy for our allies and trade partners around the world. Odessan killed in wreck, arrest made. A 61-year-old Odessa man was arrested Friday night on suspicion of intoxication, manslaughter, following a three-vehicle crash that killed an Odessa motorcyclist. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, a preliminary investigation revealed Martin Salas Galagos was driving across multiple westbound lanes on West 16th Street when he crossed into the eastbound lanes around 11 p.m. and hit Ismael Martinez, Jr., 57, as he rode his Harley-Davidson motorcycle. The 17-year-old driver of a Chrysler 300 then hit Martinez as he lay in the roadway. Martinez, who wasn't wearing a helmet, was pronounced dead at the scene, and the teenager, also from Odessa, was unhurt. Salas Gallegos was treated at Medical Center Hospital and then booked into the Ector County Jail on the second-degree felony. He was released Sunday after posting a $125,000 surety bond. Man arrested on aggravated kidnapping charge. A 27-year-old Euless man was arrested Saturday on multiple warrants issued in June after his girlfriend accused him of pistol whipping her and trying to force her to drive him to Dallas at gunpoint. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Tristan Anthony Ortiz's 26-year-old girlfriend called 911 from a gas station on East Highway 191 on June 3rd. When officers arrived, she told them Ortiz had physically forced her into the corner of her apartment on East Highway 191 and forcibly took her phone away from her. She told them when she retrieved her gun, he took it away from her and hit her in the head with it, the report stated. She said Ortiz put the gun to her head and said he was going to kill her, but instead fired a shot out the window of her bedroom, the report stated. She escaped from the apartment, but when she went back, a still-armed Ortiz forced her into her car and demanded she take him to Dallas, the report stated. While at the gas station on 191, she told officers Ortiz began chambering around into the gun, causing one to fall to the floorboard. According to the report, officers found a bullet hole, glass, a damaged wall, and a spent bullet casing in the woman's bedroom and a bullet in her car. They also noticed the woman had a knot on her head and red marks on her chest. Officers obtained warrants for aggravated robbery, deadly conduct, and unlawful possession of a firearm by felony. The Ector County Sheriff's Office arrested Ortiz on those outstanding warrants Saturday and on a warrant issued following his August 25th indictment for aggravated kidnapping with a deadly weapon. He remains in custody Monday night on surety bonds totaling $415,000. Community urged to wear orange for Hunger Action Day. Hunger Action Day is fast approaching, and the West Texas Food Bank invites everyone to participate in a powerful show of solidarity against hunger. The food bank is asking everyone to wear orange on September 15th to raise awareness about food insecurity and support the West Texas Food Bank. Whether it's an orange shirt, hat, or any orange accessory, your choice to wear orange sends a strong message of support to those facing hunger in the community, a news release said. The food bank would also love people to share their orange attire photos on social media to inspire others and create a wave of support. Tag the food bank in your posts and use the hashtag #HungerActionDay and #HungerActionMonth. And they will share your photos and stories on its channel, spreading the message even further. Wreath laying ceremony to honor Abel Marquez. The Odessa Police Department will hold a wreath laying ceremony on Tuesday, September 12th at sunrise, approximately 7:30 a.m., to pay tribute to fallen Corporal Abel Marquez, who died in the line of duty on September 12, 2007. The public is invited to attend the wreath-laying ceremony. The wreath will be on display from sunrise to sunset, and anyone wishing to show their respects is encouraged to visit the memorial during this time. Odessan accused of threatening officers with a knife. An Odessa man was arrested Saturday after police said he threatened officers while armed with a knife and a Bible. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers were summoned to the 1400 block of West 13th Street because a man was acting irrationally. When officers arrived, Alan Antonio Puebla, 42, was pacing on the sidewalk with the Bible in one hand and the knife in the other, the report stated. He refused to answer the officers' commands, and they used less than lethal means to take him into custody. Puebla was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of two counts of aggravated assault of a public servant, a second-degree felony, punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. He remained in the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $50,000 Monday night. Odessa Doctor TMB enter agreed order. On August 18, 2023, the Texas Medical Board and Michael Vice Shelton, MD, entered into an agreed order requiring him to within 1 year complete at least 12 hours of CME divided as follows: 4 hours in ethics, 4 hours in risk management, and 4 hours in medical record keeping. The board found Shelton failed to meet the standard of care and keep adequate medical records in the treatment of one patient. Midland woman sentenced for more than $1.2 million of wire and tax fraud. A Midland woman was sentenced in federal court in Midland on Friday to 30 months in prison and ordered to pay $1,251,416.67 in restitution for wire fraud and filing a false tax return, a press release said. According to court documents, while working as a secretary for Bridges Equipment LTD, Tamara Dawn Allen, 49, fraudulently cashed her employer's checks using the owner's signature stamp and made electronic payments to her personal bank accounts from company accounts. The scheme amounted to a total loss of at least $868,770.60. Additionally, Allen underreported her income on her taxes over a 4-year span for a total of $553,390. Allen pleaded guilty to counts 1 and 24 of a 31-count superseding indictment on May 12th. The fraud perpetrated by this defendant, a longtime employee at a family-owned business, resulted in substantial losses and destroyed relationships, said U.S. Attorney Jaime Esparza for the Western District of Texas. I appreciate the work of our partners for investigating this case. Just as with violent crimes, we will continue to vigorously prosecute all white-collar and fraud cases in the Western District of Texas. Ms. Allen took advantage of her position to personally enrich herself at the expense of her employer and their partners, said Special Agent in Charge Douglas M. Goodwater for the FBI El Paso Field Office. The victims can have confidence that the defendant will be held accountable for the crimes she committed and sends a message to other fraudsters that their schemes and deception will not be tolerated in our community. Allen spent years stealing from her employer, gaining wealth at everyone else's expense, including law-abiding taxpayers, said Special Agent in Charge Ramsey E. Covington of IRS Criminal Investigations Houston Field Office. The special agents and prosecutors vigorously documented every deceptive transaction, ensuring that the case against her was irrefutable. As experts in financial crimes, CI regularly partners with other law enforcement agencies to help ensure justice is served. The FBI and CI investigated the case. U.S. approves updated COVID vaccines to rev up protection this fall. The U.S. approved updated COVID-19 vaccines Monday, hoping to rev up protection against the latest coronavirus strains and blunt any surge this fall and winter. The Food and Drug Administration's decision opens the newest shots from Moderna and Pfizer and its partner BioNTech to most Americans, even if they've never had a coronavirus vaccination, it's part of a shift to treat fall updates of the COVID-19 vaccine much like getting a yearly flu shot. There's still another step. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention must sign off. A CDC advisory panel is set to issue recommendations Tuesday on who most needs the updated shots. Vaccinations could begin later this week, and both the COVID-19 and flu shot can be given at the same time. COVID-19 hospitalizations have been rising since late summer, although thanks to some lasting immunity from prior vaccinations and infections, not nearly as much as this time last year. But protections wane over time, and the coronavirus continually churns out new variants that can dodge prior immunity. It's been a year since the last time the vaccines were tweaked. Just like earlier vaccinations, the fall round is cleared for adults and children as young as age 6 months. FDA said starting at age 5, most people can get a single dose even if they've never had a prior COVID-19 shot. Younger children might need additional doses depending on their history of COVID-19 infections and vaccinations. The newish shots target an Omicron variant named XBB.1.5. That specific strain is no longer dominant, but it's close enough to coronavirus strains causing most COVID-19 illnesses today that FDA determined it would offer good cross protection. These newest shots replaced combination vaccines that mixed protection against the original coronavirus strain and even older Omicron variants. Like earlier versions, they're expected to be most protective against severe illness, hospitalization, and death rather than mild infection.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, September 9th. New Mexico sees progress on waste rule compliance. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham entered her second term this year continuing to focus on improving the state's environment. Part of that focus falls under the mission of the state's Oil Conservation Division, which is tasked with enforcing the state's new waste rules aimed at boosting the natural gas capture rate to 98% by the end of 2026, preventing venting and flaring and emissions into the atmosphere. Quote, I'm seeing compliance improve, Dylan Fuge, the new director of the OCD, told Grant Schwartzwelder, president of OTA Environmental Solutions, during OTA's monthly Oil Field Strong webinar. Fuge said there are still holes in reporting, but they are closing. Quote, I think we are seeing progress. We still have some questions about operations that we're working with operators on. I hope to have the results of early audit processes available shortly so we can share lessons learned and issues, he said. His department is seeing the performances expected on an operator and basin basis, he said, and the San Juan Basin, which produces predominantly dry gas, the department is seeing high gas capture percentages out of the gate because they are, by nature, gas-producing wells, and there is excess takeaway capacity. Some parts of the Permian Basin are seeing construction of pipelines, quote, as fast as they get filled up for takeaway, so we're looking at different challenges. We are supporting operators who are deploying novel solutions to these challenges, end quote. For example, 18 months ago, the department began supporting a closed-loop gas capture pilot project initiated by EOG Resources that has since expanded to more operators. Quote, we are looking at supporting deployment of solutions like that. The goal is to get more gas to market that brings value to the state and reduces emissions into the atmosphere, he said. The amount of data being transmitted by drilling rigs and production equipment is a lot, he told Swartzwelder, but is key to the department's inspectors doing their jobs effectively and building public trust in its processes and information. Fuge said his department receives an increasing amount of third-party data, whether from environmental groups like Earth Defense Fund flying over production sites and measuring emissions, or the Environmental Protection Agency doing the same. That has given rise to the need to invest in new technical tools available commercially that help analyze that data, he said. Asked about the department's key areas of focus, Fuge began with implementation of the new waste rule, managing the significant increase in production seen in the New Mexico portion of the Permian Basin, and the resulting produced water and addressing seismicity. Looking forward, he said the state and his department will be looking at establishing primacy in authorizing carbon management activities, whether related to oil and gas or otherwise. And as time and focus allows, he said he plans to continue modernization of the rules that need to be modernized in light of the increased development in New Mexico oil fields. Peak 10 Energy launches after purchasing assets. The story was written by Miller McEwen, oil editor. Seeking long-term investments helped guide the launch of Peak 10 Energy as an oil and gas investment platform. Peak 10 is focused on acquiring long-life oil and gas assets throughout the continental U.S. and has an asset base consisting of non-operated oil and gas properties in Reeves, Fisher, Scurry, Gaines, Dawson, and Andrews counties. Those properties include more than 100 producing wells and a multi-year drilling program of Tier 1 undeveloped drilling opportunities. Building on that portfolio, the company made an inaugural acquisition of non-operated upstream oil and gas and associated water handling and recycling assets in the eastern shelf of the Permian Basin in Fisher and Scurry counties. Quote, "Our investors want exposure to long-term macro assets," explained Mark Paul, chief executive officer. Speaking with the Reporter Telegram by telephone, Paul said Peak 10's portfolio is weighted toward proved, undeveloped assets that are, quote, "a perfect match to those who want long-term exposure to the Permian Basin. They can step on the gas when prices are high, or step off when prices are low. As an investor, they're rewarded over time if they have the right mix," end quote. The assets recently made in the Hermley Field in Scurry County have lower capital expenses and lower operating costs that will let the company get a premium to West Texas Intermediate, Paul said. Quote, "They don't have the high initial potential of Delaware wells. They do behave a little differently. But if you control the costs, you have a good chance of returning cash to investors," he said. Accessing capital has been getting tougher in recent years, and advance rates for debt are up, as are interest rates, he said. But, quote, "if you have the right route, you don't have trouble finding capital. Our strategy of holding assets long-term and paying dividends is attracting investors," end quote. One of Peak 10's assets is in the northern Midland Basin, where the company has working interest and owns the mineral rights, but is operated by EOG Resources. The recent acquisition included operating interests, but Paul said that was handed over to Browning Oil out of Dallas. Quote, "We knew we needed to learn how to walk before we could run. Browning already operates in the Permian Basin, and they could operate more efficiently," he said. He concluded, quote, We are in the business of creating long-term value for our shareholders. So, if we're in a box, we may miss an opportunity to create value. That's why we are agnostic as to oil or gas." End quote. P10's capitalization consists of cash, contributed assets, and future capital commitments from Legacy Star Capital Partners, a Texas-based asset management firm, as well as debt financing from Prudential Private Capital, Prudential Energy Capital Partners, LP, and Production Lending, LLC, which in aggregate are estimated to exceed $500 million in balance sheet resources. Plains All American expands Permian Basin footprint. The story was written by Miller McEwen, oil editor. Plains All American Pipeline has been active in expanding its Permian Basin footprint. A subsidiary of Plains Oryx Permian Basin LLC acquired Diamondback Energy's 43% interest in OMOG JV LLC for $225 million as of the end of July. OMOG JV operates about 400 miles of crude oil gathering and regional transport pipelines, as well as approximately 350,000 barrels of crude storage in Midland, Martin, Andrews, and Ector counties. The bolt-on acquisition, quote, "further improves our premium Permian footprint in an efficient, disciplined manner," Willie Chang, Plains All-American chairman and CEO, said during the company's August 4th earnings conference call. Morgan Ash, spokesperson for Plains, told a reporter Telegram by email, quote, "As a midstream energy service provider, we are committed to exceptional customer service while exercising discipline in our capital investments. We are proud of our role in delivering Permian Basin-produced energy, which powers quality of life in communities across North America and around the world. Our dedicated people and our highly interconnected pipeline and terminal system provide customers with significant flexibility to deliver crude oil to multiple markets. Our pipelines directly connect to the local Permian refining market, as well as Corpus Christi, Houston, and Cushing, Oklahoma markets. Additionally, our system connects to other outbound pipelines serving markets across America." End quote. The sale also helped Diamondback exceed its non-core asset sales target of $1 billion by the end of the year, Diamondback Chief Executive Officer Travis Stice said in the company's earnings report. Quote, "Since initiating the non-core asset sale program, we have announced or closed transactions with $1.1 billion of gross proceeds," Stice said in announcing second quarter results. "As a reminder, proceeds from these asset sales will go toward further debt reduction. We are not planning to increase our non-core asset sale target at this time, but still have significant value in our midstream assets and equity method investments that may be monetized at some point in the future." End quote. Amplified Technologies offers digital platform to operators. The story was written by Miller McEwen, oil editor. Amplified Technologies has gone live with its new digital technology, providing oil and gas operators with real-time operations data. The startup out of Massachusetts Institute of Technology has launched with $10 million in funding and a number of customers in the Midland area. Sebastian Manai, who serves as Amplified's chief executive officer, said the company's clients are smaller operators with stripper wells that produce 13 to 15 barrels per day. In fact, he said the oldest well Amplified oversees is from the 1930s. quote, "They don't drill much. They focus on producing wells," he said, while in Midland, to attend the Artificial Lift R&D Council's Sucker Rod Pumping Workshop at the Barbara and George H.W. Bush Convention Center recently. Of course, Manai noted, Amplified also counts big companies that operate thousands of wells as clients as well. His smallest client has 12 wells, his largest, 2,500 wells. Still, it's the small operators that produce a significant share of the nation's oil, with 80% of the nation's wells classified as stripper wells, producing 10 to 15 barrels of oil a day, and accounting for 30% of the nation's output. Amplified's technology lets it bring in artificial intelligence and cloud computing, attaching its equipment to pumping units and control boxes to automate wells and tanks. The equipment communicates wirelessly, measuring temperatures and pressures and how the equipment is functioning. That information is sent to clients via apps on their smartphones, which also allow clients to control their equipment. Quote, "We provide automation at a fraction of the cost," Manai said. The technology can help small operators monitor their equipment, helping optimize production, but it can also help improve environmental performance by alerting to the risks of spills or emissions. Quote, "People think wells are static, but they're always changing, and we can give operators a picture of what's going on with their wells, letting them make adjustments in real time," he said. The artificial intelligence component of Amplified's technology helps manage the amounts of data coming in from the equipment, providing clients explanations of why a line failed, or if there was a gas pocket or a hole in tubing. He likened it to a person having a medical issue who goes to the doctor, who then runs blood tests, CAT scans, or MRIs to pinpoint the cause. Quote, "With these machines, it's the same," he said. The equipment is affordable, scalable, and easy to install. Manai said his personal record is installation in 11 minutes. Quote, "As we grow, we get better," he said. "We have a system that is continually improving," end quote. Amplified was incorporated as Acoustic Wells in Boston in 2019 and has its roots in Manai's work in the aerospace industry. His work involved using sound to diagnose engines, and he saw a parallel with oil and gas wells.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.